In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The parable of the prodigal son is a parable that reveals divine love. It shows us the nature of divine love. Bishop Nikolai Velimirovic explains that the main qualities of divine love are patience, forgiveness, and joy. And we see patience and forgiveness and joy in the Father in the parable. In the parable, the Father is, I don't want to say God, because that would lead us down a path where oftentimes when we try to interpret or understand Scripture, we approach it as though it's a kind of puzzle. This stands for something else. This stands for something else. And we try to identify each thing that is represented there. Well, there's a lot more there than that. It just isn't like that. You can't deal with it that way. So let's say to begin with that the Father is like God. The Father is a Father by being the way that God is with his created creatures, human beings, man in particular. And when I say man, we have to remember in these times where everything is reduced to individualism, and we find ourselves in a situation where we have to say, well, if you're talking about a man, because that's the only kind of anything we understand, the individual. We're all individuals. And individually, we are either men or women. So which one is it? You know, well, that's not the way Scripture is. You know, it was written long before individualism separated us from one another and convinced us that the isolated individual is ultimate. And if you're going to have anything beyond that, it's a collection of isolated individuals who agree with one another for some reason of their own individual choosing. Well, that way of thinking is very, very recent and makes Scripture unreadable. We are men, as opposed to buffaloes or cows or cats or rabbits or roaches. Our kind is mankind. And it says in Genesis, and God created man, male and female, he created them. Them being referred to as the individual males and females. And all of us are individual males and females. But we are man as God created us, male and female. And so that's what's being referred to here. There are two males in the story of the prodigal son. But they're not just males, and okay, females don't count in the story. No, they are men in the sense that they include both male and female. So the fact that there are two sons does not exclude daughters. That Scripture is just not like that. That other way of thinking is very, very recent and has become politicized in the most incredible way. So there are two sons of the Father in the story. One of them is a righteous son, and the other one is unrighteous in the sense that he chooses to depart from the Father. Bishop Nikolai says that for the man of the flesh, his life begins when he separates himself from the Father. Not all of us are like that. Some of us don't. We remain with the Father. We want to be at home. And I don't just mean that we're parents, we have children, some of them stay, live in our house. They're 30 years old, they're still living in our house. That's not what I'm talking about. You can leave and still be at home, at one with the Father, at one with your father and mother, the sons and daughters of your parents. Even if the first thing you do as soon as you get out of high school is to move to Wisconsin and marry some girl that you met on the internet. I'm thinking of one of our sons. But that particular son never left home. He was like the son that stayed with the father. He didn't go out wandering. He didn't need the experience. Somehow, the elder son doesn't seem to need that experience that the younger son seems to need. So there is an elder son and a younger son. And the elder son, Bishop Nicolai says, is the spiritual man. And the younger son is the fleshly man, the man of passions and desires. Okay, and why is the spiritual man the elder son? Bishop Nicolai explains by referring us back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created us righteous. Adam was righteous. And the way it works in the book of Genesis is this. And this is not fit into our modern way of thinking because it isn't our modern way of thinking. There's more here than what we're used to finding in one place. And it goes like this. God said in Genesis, "Let us create man in our own image." And so the spiritual nature of man was created first. It's the first thing about the creation of man. And after that, God took the dust of the earth and he formed the body of man. And then he breathed into the body of man what he had already created, the image of God. That is the spiritual man. The image of God in us is the spiritual nature that God created in the beginning. It is older than the body. It is primary, we might say, using a different way of thinking. There's a way in philosophy of talking about this, but it's even more confusing than what we're talking about. We'd have to introduce that first to say it's more essential. It's primary. Scripture just says it's older. It's more fundamental. It's more foundational. The spiritual man is the original nature of man. So that is breathed into the body. And then, how about Eve? Ah, if we are all caught up, and who isn't, in this idea that everything boils down to the individual, male or female, that there is really, that's all there is about human beings. You have individual males and females, that's it. People today don't even believe there is such a thing as mankind. You know, Nietzsche said God is dead. And it was very soon after that realized that if God is dead, so is man. Because without God, we cannot be mankind. People came to the conclusion that there are only individual males and individual females. And there's no such thing as humanity. We don't owe anything to anyone else. That's where we are today. No wonder we don't understand Scripture. But this isn't that way of thinking. So how about Eve? Eve is younger than Adam. Younger in that same sense. She is taken from the body of Adam. That part in the process of the creation of mankind has been reached where there is Adam, whose oldest part, we'll say, is his spiritual nature. It has been breathed into him, the body of this new being, Adam. But mankind isn't finished yet. There is no male and female yet, so we're going to talk about that in Genesis. And that comes about by the taking of Eve out of the body of Adam. Now mankind has been created. Now you have man, male and female, he created them. And we can't politicize this in modern individualistic terms. I mean, we can, people do. But if we do that, we won't be understanding what's in Scripture. We won't be understanding Genesis. We'll be using it as source material to justify all kinds of craziness that comes from our own mind and our own time. And Eve, out of great desire, and desire, remember, is not just a bad thing. It's not just simply desire is always bad. No, desire, all the passions were given to us by God for good reasons. We are meant to desire God. We are meant to desire to love one another. We are meant to desire to have compassion But this is at the beginning. There is no experience. I remember saying to one of our sons, you have everything you need. He was about to go out into the world, except for one thing, experience. Now, some sons don't seem to need to go out and experience everything for themselves. Some sons seem to be content to believe in the way that they have been living in their father's house and go and begin to live that way. But others, male and female, seem to need to go out and have experience in life. And the younger son is that kind of son. And so he asks his father, give me all that falls to me. Give me all that is mine. Well, what is that? Bishop Nicolai explains that if we are given all that is ours, then what are we given? Dust. We don't get the image of God. We don't get the gifts that God gives that are in Him and not in us. He gives us dust, the body made of dust. We love the world. We don't want what is from God. Don't want what is the Father's. I want my own. I want to be able to go and live my own life. And so the Father gives the young man what he desires. All the physical wherewithal of this world, his body, but he gives him something more than what he asked for. He can't bear, our children leave home, we can't bear for them to go out naked into the world. We do the best we can for them. And God is certainly no different as a father in this parable. He doesn't let us depart from him simply with a body. He gives also a soul and gifts beyond that. A spark, conscience, a little bit of understanding, and desire for good. Conscience, a little bit of understanding, and a desire for good. I can't help but think of Pinocchio. Disney's Pinocchio, because that's the ultimate version. If you read the original Pinocchio, it's pretty sad. You know, it's a pretty sad business. Disney saw that, and it was in his classic period that he did that film. And so Pinocchio's story is the story of the desire for something that is shaped like a human being, but is made out of physical stuff only, but has the desire to be good and a conscience. You know, my favorite, Jiminy Cricket. So the man gives his son this spark of conscience and the desire for good. And Bishop Nicolai says that the father in his heart says, he will need this. He will need this spark because it's just a little bit of understanding. It's just a little tiny conscience. That's why it's a little cricket, you see. It's just a little bit of that desire for good. Just a spark. But the father says to himself, this will save him. And so the young man goes out into the world. And he spends all that he has in riotous living. Wastes it. Prodigal. Remember, prodigal, the word prodigal doesn't mean one who returns. Prodigal literally means to waste everything. Just cast it away. That's what it means to be prodigal. So he's a prodigal son. He goes and he's prodigal. That's what we do when we sin. We cast away all of what we could have used to become more and more like God. But then the point comes when he is at his lowest. He is lower than the animals in a sense because human beings are created to be more than animals are. You know, the old way of understanding, and this maybe we can relate to easily today with our modern sensibility, was that animals have souls. Human beings have souls. But there is more to a human being than an animal. God cares for and gives animals what they need. And animals live the way they're supposed to live. according to the nature, we would say, by instinct. Today, most of us don't aim any higher. We would like to be animals. It's often crossed my mind, rather than have this great calling to be fully human with the fullness and the stature of Christ. It's virtually inconceivable to most of us today. Even us Orthodox, even though we know about it, we go out and we live in a world where if we pray to God, we pray to Him to take care of us as if we were no more than animals, because that's how God deals with animals. He cares for them, uses His will, uses His power. It's the God of the animals. But human beings are free. God will never step on our freedom. And so for the prodigal, that moment has to come when he comes to himself. When he comes to himself. And I was very happy to see. I don't know why I was surprised. Bishop Nicolai, quoting the Blessed Theophylact. Wow. Terrific. Really enjoyed that. Bishop Nicolai says that when we sin, we are not in ourselves. We are alienated from ourselves. When we come to ourselves, we return to ourselves. And that's what happened to the prodigal as he was there feeding the swine. He came to himself, that prick of conscience, that little bit of light in the darkness. That's what his conscience was for him. In that dark place, there was this little spark of light. And he determined to return to the Father. He returns to the Father, and the Father knows as soon as he's, if we're talking about God, God knows as soon as we repent. As soon as we begin to want to return to Him and not be living our life in the control of our passions and desires with a love for the things of the world and self-love, as soon as we repent of that, as soon as that spark of light enlightens us and makes us realize that we are wasting our lives in prodigal living, God knows, and He rushes to meet us. And that's what the Father does. The Son has a speech that He wants to give to the Father. He plans it out ahead of time. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be one of the servants in your house. Make me one of your servants. He never gets to tell that to the Father, because the Father comes and falls on him and kisses him, and the young man begins his speech. And before he's even finished, the Father has called for a robe to be put on his son's shoulders, a ring to be put on his hand, shoes on his feet. And Bishop Nicolai says that the robe is Christ himself. We are clothed in the royalty of our humanity, made divine and fulfilled by Christ. We are clothed in that as penitent sinners when we enter into the life of Christ. And the ring is the ring of the betrothal of our soul to God. And the shoes are the strength to be able to walk this life in the world. And so there is this change in this young man. It's a new man, a new young man that the Father runs to embrace. And all three of those characteristics of divine love are present. There is the patience, and patience is difficult for a father. We want to be able to intervene and do something. How can they live this kind of life? But patience, patient love, and having made all of that effort to be the kind of father that a son will return to, which is a lot of patience involved in that too. I mean, we want to rule our children the way God rules the animals. It will not make them good human beings. It will not make them sons and daughters of the Most High. It takes patience, and it takes forgiveness. If when a person repents, we don't have forgiveness for them, then we didn't love that person. To refuse to forgive a person that has committed some offense against us, We show that we are an unloving person, that we never loved that person to begin with. And finally, joy. All of us have joy when our children succeed. It doesn't matter whether they succeed according to the way that we would have preferred for them to succeed. The success comes in the repentance from living the life of riot that they had lived before. And whatever the details are of their new life and how they have found to live their own lives in the world, our joy is that they have come to themselves and now they have returned home. Not home to my home, but home to the home of a full human being who takes the responsibility for freedom on themselves, which is what it means to grow up, to be able to use the freedom that we have, not to make ourselves worse, but in humility to begin to love the image and likeness of God in which we are created, and by doing so, we find ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.